It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
And let's talk legal. In the studio with us is Cecil Harvell. Wes is on assignment.
Good morning. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. I hope you're doing well as well.
I am. I'm doing just fine. Here we are, the middle of summer.
Yep.
A lot going on.
That's an understatement.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I'm a lawyer. I'm glad I'm not a news guy.
Yeah, well,
you have a lot to talk about all the time.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, yep. But you in the legal field have a lot to do because life continues,
yes.
And civil matters don't take a break or a holiday for whatever reason. So life goes on.
Absolutely. And Mike, what I thought we'd talk about today is that we've talked about this a while back on the program, but let's revisit it. You know, there's not really a week that goes by that you don't have a husband or wife, a couple in the office. Maybe they come with some children. It depends. And the comment then is made to the lawyer, we are making provisions or want provisions to be made that our assets pass to our children. And under our particular financial circumstances, I don't need to provide for my spouse, okay? She has independent means. He inherited from his parents. There's no need in our file, Mr. Harvell, for me to leave anything to my spouse. And I would like to leave my assets on to my children. Now, sometimes this is in a second marriage, as you can imagine, children from prior marriage or third marriage, but sometimes it's even out of the gate in a first marriage, where again, usually in those circumstances, it's because there's been maybe considerable net worth come into that marriage through maybe a very successful business or the sale of a business, or potentially one of the parties in the marriage have inherited a significant amount of money. Now, what am I getting at here? What I'm getting at, Mike, is guess what? I have to tell these clients what they don't really want to hear and many times what they don't know, which is that in the state of North Carolina, you cannot disinherit your spouse.
Yeah.
So you can do a will all you want to all day long that says I make no provision for my spouse and I leave my estate to my children, whatever the facts may be. Maybe it's the first marriage, collective marriage, maybe it's the second, third marriage, it doesn't matter. If you die and if you have a spouse, your spouse has a statutory right in your estate. And this begins with the general rule that the spouse has the right to what is known in North Carolina as an elective share. They can elect a share of your estate. Notwithstanding the fact that your will, believe it or not, your last will and testament doesn't have a provision for them. This, of course, is news to a lot of people, and I bet it's news to some of our listeners right now who are listening. Now, the next question is, well, you know, Mr. Harvell, what is this elective share? How much is it? Well, it is depending on, believe it or not, codified in the statute very clearly that if you've been married for less than 5 years, then your spouse has an elective share of 15% of your net assets. If you've been married for more than 5 years and less than 10 years, so you, let's say you've been married 7 or 8 years,
right,
then, of course, it's 25%. If you've been married for 10 years but up to 15, then it is 33%. And after 15 years of marriage, which time goes mighty quickly, and this is usually the one that we quite frankly see.
The 15 and
the
over.
15 year, I don't know quite why, but we do. It's 50%. 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get married again and you want to leave your estate to your children, and you continue to be married for a period of 15 years, you're going to then be advised by a lawyer at some point that you're a spouse, notwithstanding your agreement that assets pass to your children, that your spouse is going to have this 50% right to your estate. This is known as the elective share. And Michael, this is the general rule. There's some exceptions here that I'm going to talk about in a minute, maybe after the break. But the exceptions are rare, I might add. Very rare. They're really, that I, as far as I know, there are only two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the general rule is applicable and is applying in a very real way in the legal world and in the estates that we settle at our office on an everyday basis.
Now, you say it's codified and it's statute.
It is.
And those breakdowns in less than 5 years, 5 to 10, 10. Is this, how long has that been a statute in North Carolina law? Is this something, because you say people come into your office and they're surprised.
About 10 years.
So I can understand the surprise. Yeah. And
there were other statutes prior to this elective share statute. There were some other statutes that were in effect that kind of did the same thing. There's always been in the state of North Carolina a spousal right in a spouse's estate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, and don't hold me to 10 years, I'll find out, I maybe could look it up during the break, but that the North Carolina legislature really tightened this up and made it kind of crystal clear a few years back. And this law has now been in effect for long enough to be interpreted by the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, to be well understood by the clerks of court around the state, and to be well understood by estate lawyers. This is an issue that we recognize in every file that comes into our office.
And this is elective shares. This is a married couple, and it pertains to them. And I think that phrase, elective shares, and always, words have meaning always in the legal realm. But probably people aren't as familiar with elective shares as they are prenuptial agreements. There's a big difference there. They're not the same, correct?
Well, a prenuptial agreement is an agreement, a contract between two folks that is entered into prior to marriage, which is why it's called premarital or prenuptial agreement. And it is an agreement whereby the parties are saying that after we get married, we're going to agree to this before we get married, but after we get married, we are waiving the statutory laws that apply to our estates. And if you have a prenuptial agreement, then you are able to waive the elective share.
Okay, so it supersedes.
And that is one of the two exceptions that we were going to talk about. But one clearly is the prenuptial agreement.
I'm sorry, I didn't have liner notes here. I didn't want to steal your thunder here. But
right.
I think listeners out there probably hear that. Maybe they read some books or they watch a lot of movies and they hear the word prenup and all that. So we'll flesh that out. But we still have some more time in this segment here. I think this is important too. It's like you said, people that sit down with you for the first time, this is all new to them. And I think it just goes back again to the shows that we've been doing, you and I together, Cecil, over the past 6 months, about getting good legal advice and not just sitting on your hands wondering what if or what really does this mean. Sitting down with folks at Harvell and Collins and having a discussion and learning about some of the nuances of civil law as they pertain to your marriage in this case, or where assets get divided in the event the marriage doesn't work out or you die. It's as simple as that.
I think what happens here, based on Michael, what we see at the law firm is that folks fall into a relationship, which is wonderful. There's a great deal of companionship and affection. They get married. They agree, at the barbecue. They agree at the kitchen table. They completely understand that they want their assets to pass to their respective children. They make arrangements like that. Maybe the husband keeps his assets titled, his, stocks or bonds titled in his name. The wife does the same. They name each other's children as beneficiaries of their IRA, their life insurance. They make all of these arrangements, even financially, to provide their assets to their children, not really knowing that this statute exists out there.
Yeah.
Also, they say, but my wife, my husband will not file the elective share. Okay, we hear that a lot. We have agreed between each other that even though this law is out there, okay, my wife or my husband won't make that filing because we have agreed that everything is separate and distinct. The problem with that statement is that many times it isn't the person at the table, at the barbecue, at the kitchen table. It's their children or their representative through an estate, their executor, or their agent under a power of attorney. It is many times not just the husband or the wife who are making the decision. In other words, we had a case in our office here recently where the husband died. The wife had a right to an elective share. They had this, if you will, barbecue agreement, kitchen table agreement. Everybody knew that, okay? The wife, however, also elderly, she had not died, but she was not competent. She was unable to make legal decisions. And therefore, her agent, under her power of attorney, had the legal right to file for the elective share. And one could argue that the agent under the power of attorney, her legal representative, if you will, even had the duty to file for this elective share. And therefore, the elective share was in fact filed, not by her because she was not competent, but by her agent on her behalf.
Interesting. Wow. Things you don't know.
Yeah.
Things you don't know. Let's take a break here, and then we'll get into the exceptions that we started to talk about here in the prenup, and I'll let Cecil flesh that out more for the listeners here. If you want to join the conversation, you have a similar situation in your life, give us a call at 252-247-7282. If you missed that opportunity for free legal advice, you can call the office at Harvell & Collins, 252-726-9050. Or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal. Cecil Harvell's in the studio. If you wish to join the conversation, call us at 252-247-7282. We're talking about elective shares, and if you're a married couple, whether you're just a few years out of the gate or you've been married for more than 10 or 15 years, you want to listen to this conversation because it's a little-known fact in civil law that could affect you if you're, you know, if you your marriage doesn't work out and you're trying to break up the estate.
You had asked, and I looked during the break, these percentages, this law basically in its current form, and it's as I explained earlier, where the North Carolina legislature kind of redrafted earlier law and put it into the context of the elective share, that was effective October 1, 2013. It's been around for a while, but you know it takes a while for these things to become public knowledge. You know what is that? That's 7 years ago, isn't it?
Yep,
7 years.
It'll be 7 years October.
Be 7 years. 7 years is not a real real long time in the you know.
It's almost like matters like this has to work through a generation before it becomes commonly known phrase. Like we were talking about, one of the exceptions is prenuptial. People hear that term. They kind of have a basic understanding of it.
They do. I think that folks are, and we could do a program maybe next week or the following week just on prenuptial agreements and also the other side of that same coin known as a postnuptial agreement or an agreement that is done even after you're married. But the bottom line is that I do think, Michael, that prenuptials are kind of, you know, misunderstood. They are, I like to call them just simply contracts.
Understandings.
A marital understanding. Yeah. understanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I many times will take the word prenuptial out of the document. It's a written document. It can say anything you want it to say.
Yeah.
It's a contract. And you can do a prenuptial, if you will, or a marital agreement, and simply limit it to this very issue that we're talking about right here, that all other issues of relative to our marriage that are controlled by the state of North Carolina are in play.
Mm-hmm.
We're not changing anything with regard to divorce or titling of assets or anything, but we are waiving the elective share with regard to each of our estates. So the elective share is out there. It's a very strong position for a spouse in the state of North Carolina. North Carolina always has taken a traditional, as we know, approach to marriage and protects the surviving spouse. And this is one of those laws that is in place in the state of North Carolina that gives the spouse the right to a percentage of their spouse's estate, notwithstanding what a last will and testament might say. It's a good thing for our listeners to understand and know about.
Yeah, and as you explained it too, mm-hmm. Cecil, it's pretty black and white. It's pretty cut and dry.
There is very black and white.
Not a lot of gray areas. Now,
absolutely.
You did say, though, that
there's some issues with regard to the values. You know, obviously, every time, what's the value of this? The value of a piece of property or land or something of that nature. But other than determining a value, which can be determined, by the way, okay, the procedure is fairly straightforward.
And you mentioned, and I took the wind out of your sails, mm-hmm. about some exceptions, one being the prenuptial. Are there any other exceptions to this?
There's just one more. So let's talk about that. So, you know, right out of the gate, I just want to say, isn't it interesting that really there only are a couple of exceptions to this law?
It's remarkable.
Okay, yes, that's remarkable. One, of course, is a prenuptial agreement or a postnuptial agreement. And the second exception is not really completely an exception. It's just a structure whereby a spouse can say in their will that I understand that my surviving spouse has this percentage interest in my estate, and I will honor that, and therefore that percentage interest will go into a trust for my surviving spouse, and he or she may have the income off of that trust for the remainder of their life, almost like a life estate type scenario, but that upon the death of my surviving spouse, those assets now go back to my children. So in other words, there is known in the law a provisions that we can work into an estate plan called an elective share trust. And if your estate planning documents include an elective share trust, now, of course, you in effect have documented yourself around the statute, because you as a wife are saying, well, yes, I know this elective share exists. I'm going to let my husband have 33% or 50% of my estate, but I'm not going to let him have it outright.
Right.
It's going to be in a trust. He will get the income on it as long as he lives, and then upon his death, it will pass back to my children. Now, that planning would have been beautiful, would it have not been, in the file that I told you about, mm-hmm. where the elderly gentleman died.
Right.
And his wife, who was not competent at the time, had a power of attorney. And the agent under the power of attorney elected a share. If there had been in place an elective share trust, if the husband had had that documentation, then those assets would have gone into a trust. She, of course, could have lived off of the income of that for the remainder of her life, which, by the way, was not very long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then that would have gone back to his children. But there was no elective share trust in his planning, and therefore There was no exception.
That's interesting. That's kind of like, I agree with this, but. So you've covered both bases on that.
As I say, it's not really an exception.
Yeah.
It's more of what we might call just a plan around.
Yes, it's a plan around. That's a good term for it. Elective share trust. Very interesting. We'll take our final break here. We'll come back with our final moments of Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell. And if you want to call him after the show, do so. 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal. We have about 3.5 minutes left, Cecil. This is a very interesting topic here. I mean, again, breaking down the complex and making it very understandable. Mm-hmm. And I think the legislature's had a good hand in that too as well, and crafting this legislation that is pretty much black and white, and it stands.
Yes, I just think that it's important more than anything else for this information to be disclosed to our listeners, and hopefully they will disclose it to other people that they can talk to about this. Mm-hmm. You know, out at the barbecue.
That's
because
right.
The bottom line is that most folks really don't know about this, and all it takes though is for you to consult with a lawyer for a matter of an hour or so. Ask some questions about this. There are the manners that we've discussed where you can plan around this elective share. We can help you enter into a postnuptial agreement if the milk has already been spilt. We don't have a prenuptial agreement because you're already married, mm-hmm. but we can do an after marriage agreement. We also can plan around it in a last will and testament, as I discussed before, with the use of an elective share trust. But the important thing is that there be some discussion about this.
Yeah, and you would I would imagine both parties come into the Harvell and Collins and sit there with you or one of your attorneys.
Sometimes both come, and sometimes maybe a lot that someone already knows about this and they just come alone.
Yeah,
so
they get the understanding.
Yes,
and
correct.
And then take it back.
Yep.
It doesn't need to be a contentious issue. This is just more.
Doesn't have to be. Sometimes it is, but it doesn't have to be.
But it's one of those, it's one of those documents too that you get it established and you can put it on the shelf. You can dust it off every now and then.
Sure, it can be reviewed, but it probably will stand the test of time, an elective share trust.
Yeah.
This law is pretty well settled now in the state of North Carolina.
I just find it interesting and enlightening, too. I mean, until we had this conversation today, I had no idea that such a thing exists.
I always mention here on the program, Michael, the way things relate back to intent and history. There's a lot of talk now about all of that, mm-hmm. even in our country right now.
Sure.
You know, the law is based on culture and tradition and history. And the state of North Carolina has had a vested interest in protecting the spouse. There are laws that give the spouse tax advantages, that give the spouse protection against creditors. There are many laws in our state that protect the spouse, but this elective share statute is at the top of the list.
And where would you put this as far as a married couple having this in their life planning documents? Is this something that's very, very important to have?
Well, it's critical.
Yeah.
It's absolutely critical. If the facts are that we're in a marriage where we want assets to pass to our children and not to our spouse, I mean, we first have to have, you know, those, we have to have the facts that will fit in order to apply the elective share trust.
I think we'll continue this conversation in later shows. Very, very interesting. And thank you for coming in this morning, Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins. Call them 726-9050.